Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, February 9th, 2010. I want to thank you millions of people out there that are still calling in and will for several weeks in response to our show on Coast to Coast with George Norrie on the 4th of February from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock a.m. on the 5th. That's a long show, 3 hours, but George and I actually had some fun. I did anyway. I know he did too. Those shows are a lot of work, but a lot of fun. So thank you once again, those of you that are tuned into the show tonight, and stay tuned because we have a lot. I know there's a lot of newbies out there, a lot of new Ustreamers too. And we have a lot of interesting shows because of the book that I've written recently. It's taken up a lot of my time, but a lot of people that are in the book will be coming on the Thursday night show live as soon as we get books out to them. And that will happen as soon as we finish up a deal with a publisher, because I don't send out as gifts the limited edition books, which the people that I actually wrote about in the book will be, you know, talking about their part in the book. A lot of famous scientists like Kip Thorne and people like that. So anyhow, we're going to continue on with last week, and look forward to hearing you. Look forward to seeing a bunch of you, not this weekend, but next weekend. Well, this weekend's over, obviously over next weekend, at the Conscious Life Expo, where we're going to have some fun. So now let's just see what we got sitting here. Rose, walnut, oak, and all these different kinds of things, and that would give them a consortium of time identification and heritage, heritable identification. So I would look into it, you know, not just as a table, but what kind of a table it is and who built it. And I would automatically think and link up a whole series of events that took place by human action to create the table in the first place. And this, of course, is the way the bulk of humanity works. And this linking of thoughts together holds thought over a period of time in a dimension with its correlating traditional building blocks to interpret its full meaning at the moment that it's exposed. And this is where you start linking in time with the expression of memory. And of course, I'm not going to get into it in great detail at this point in time, but as you can understand, it has ramifications that once you realize its process, you can free yourself of that process and move out into a space where time is not yet present in the human mind. And this, of course, is the science of time travel. Now, looking back at the human being, we realize that now the human has this child, has objects, has had experiences. We move forward, and the child begins to project into the future a possibility of different kinds of reactions. Through the series of projections the child is presenting itself to, is developed a what we call gut feeling, intuition, these kinds of things, and that part of the brain becomes active. Now we've got three areas of the brain, the intuitive brain area active, the object identification area active, and we've got the possible encounter or personality system area of the brain active. When these three systems become activated, what happens is now by spontaneity, remember we talked about earlier about time as being a spiral earlier on in this tape series, that time doesn't repeat itself. We were talking about Phi and the Great Pyramid. We're talking about Pi, that the timeline is not a circle, but it's a spiral. Then you realize that consciousness, you know, impeding down on these three different galvanized areas of the brain, has been a tendency to start projecting a fourth area of the brain. And this fourth area, when it's activated, makes the person into a channel, a seer, a mystic, or any of the other kinds of things that are associated with something up and above and beyond the stimuli and experience action of the three-dimensional world that we live in. This, of course, when it's recognized as a possibility and then a reality, becomes a fourth-dimensional or timeless aspect. Now, timeless meaning that time is slowed down in this area, because as you move up in frequency, vibration, and consciousness, time begins to slow. You get up into the consciousness of the solar logos, for example, the one whose being is our whole solar system, and we're just cells inside of cells in his body. Well, you know, he might be just taking a nap in the next 3 billion years for us.
So he realized that there's another time link here. But it dispels us of the paradox of the bulk of humanity's consciousness and frees us, at least time-wise, from the bulk of humanity's problems and forms of ignorance that hold us back in our spiritual upward spiral. So now we're starting to talk a little bit more about time travel. And if you remember back previous to this, when I talked about the spirit hitting the body, lacking down the shock of it as it enters the chakras, and then the lockdown of the shock, some of it's spent down into the body and trapped. Some of the energy is free back to the spiritual kingdoms. And hopefully you'll start to put this tape series together, these ideas together, because a tremendous amount of things are being... Now, I could probably maybe consolidate this down a little bit further, but I feel it's necessary for you to present it at a certain level that will give you the freedom to put it together for yourself, because the way I interpret what I'm saying to you, the listener, and the way you interpret what I'm saying to you could vary. And if I lock it down too quick and too solid, and the configuration becomes too fixed, I think that you'll lose the freedom to interpret and analyze what I've said and deviate with the amount of your own personal interpretation what's necessary for your own ego and your own spiritual requirements to resolve the bottom line. Back in 1948, there was a reconnaissance plane flown by the Navy over Verdun, Cumberland Valley in back east in Pennsylvania, and it took pictures of a series of crops that had been blighted by locusts. And this is during the time we had these locust plagues. The pictures that were taken of these orchards from a pretty good altitude were then taken to a laboratory, the Homeotronic Naval Laboratory in Newport News, Pennsylvania. Newport, Pennsylvania. And they were studied, and were given to a farmer whose crops had been photographed in a black box, and they were in the black box they put in some insecticide, and the technicians in the laboratory told the farmer to leave the pictures in the box all the time, but every day at a certain time turn a dial in the black box. After 6 weeks went by, every single insect in the orchard had been destroyed by a combination of energy of what was coming from the black box, the picture, and the insecticide that was placed in there. And this, of course, was the beginning of the what we call psionic energy or scalar wave technology that became, much more prevalent today, as a matter of fact, in our paradigm systems. T. Gale and Hieronymus was the one that had applied for patents. It was his system they were experimenting with in 1946. They were issued in 1948, patent number. If you want to call the patent office and see yourself what this is 2,482,773. It's 2,482,773. That patent number is the patent that a lot of our systems, equipment, and paradigm operates under.
This seminar series is continued on the next tape.
We'll get back to that series later. Now we've got another little thing to throw in, a little break, as you might say. So here we go with the next phase of everything here, and this is from my other show. There's lots of good information in these shows. I just love them. They're almost all on BBS in the archives now. There's just tape loaded in here. Sometimes the thing fights me a little bit. Oops. Oh, come on here. Modern technology at its best. putting a tape in. It's normally an easy job, but anyway, here we go. And we'll be getting going here with the Health, Energy, and Science show. As soon as we get it playing. It's coming.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning, Jim?
I'm pretty good. How are you in Laguna?
Oh, great. Anyhow, we're getting towards the end of our nutritional discussion before we go into other topics. But we've been talking all week about the, and last week too, about the different things that we put in the Excalibur formula and how they affect your body. Because that's a good synergistic formula to follow through. For herbs, now, in our formula also, we use herbs.
We call this the Paradigm formula now.
Because herbs are very important. They provide the missing ingredients that man puts in his own vitamin formulas. And we use the herbs that go along with the effects of the nutrients that are important. For example, we were talking about the effects of phosphorus and calcium the other day in the body and how that increases the sex drive and lecithin working together. We found that sarsaparilla, for example, which we use in the Excalibur formula, has whole female and male hormone structures in it. So this then causes the body to produce more of the reproductive energies and more of the fluids that are necessary for sexual energies, which then sarsaparilla along with the other combinations will raise the sex drive.
You know, Dr. Bell, I got a comment. Remember the other day when we had Dick Gregory in studio? He said when the cowboy used to order sarsaparilla, he thought they were ordering alcohol. In fact, they were ordering an herbal drink.
That's right. That's right. Sarsaparilla is an old South American herb. It's been around for a long time. And they used to put something like 7-Up or ginger ale in it to kind of make it go into your system. But it's a fact, it acts like an elixir and it increases your sex drive. I mean, quite a bit. You'd be surprised. Earl Irons, he's one of the guys at the National Health Federation. He's 90 years old. He's been lecturing with us since I remember, and he goes way back. And he's the one that did the dolomite and some of the nutrients. He brought some of the nutrients to the public awareness. On his 90th birthday, his third or fourth wife is giving birth to a child. This is no kidding. I mean, this guy's 90 years old and he's still having kids. So if you're getting old and your sex drive is dropping, it's not a fact of nature. It's a fact of that you're just vastly deficient on certain nutrients in the body that we've been discussing. And you've got to put those back in your body. But if you're too far gone, you may have to cleanse your body so that your body will assimilate them again. Now, for thousands of years, man's been using herbs. Historians tell us that King Solomon, who was one of the wisest men at the time, although I know he was a little greedy, was a great herbal physician. Samuel Thompson, who lived about 100 years ago, cured more than 3 million people of chronic and acute diseases with herbs. And it stands to reason that if the nature can supply the vegetable kingdom to keep us alive, the nature can provide remedies for our diseases. Every animal, for example, knows remedies for their ills. From man's observation of animals and what they do when they are sick has come most of our knowledge of herbs and their uses. We also, of course, owe a tremendous amount to the Indians and natives of many countries through many centuries have taught white man how to cure chronic diseases. For example, when I was a kid in Arkansas, the first thing I learned is if I got cut, you know, and it got a little kind of infection at all, I would immediately run out and grab some moss off of a rock or a tree and put it on there, and instantly, like, the healing process begins. And you use the green side of the moss, not the dark side where it hooks onto the plant, but the other side, the smooth, shiny side. Now, each family of plants has its own peculiar habit of taking from the soil a specific group of chemical elements. The family called legumes, the plants that have edible seeds within a pod, such as peas, beans, and clovers, supply calcium, potassium, and phosphorus. And in the non-poisonous form, they are called, another thing is lime plants. Lime plants present us with materials also to build bones. Throat's a little loose today. Another family of herbs is called liliaceae. Or the lily family stores organic sulfur in a non-poisonous form. Now, organic sulfur is very important because the first thing that happens in the body is that when we have the four basic atoms, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen, and carbon, the fifth element to be produced in there is sulfur. Sulfur is very important to detoxify the body, but don't just go out and buy sulfur. You've got to do it in an herbal form. Other forms of herbs, for example, are iron plants and goes on and on and on. So I've been using herbs in my formulas for quite a while. I was thankful to have as a teacher, the late Dr. John Christopher. Now, bran is about 14% of a kernel, which is a part of grain. And when we use a bran in our formula as a source of B17, we use a thing called bitter almond bran. And almond bran is extremely high in B vitamins, iron, and incomplete protein. In milling, a part of food processing, the bran is the first thing stripped off, and it contains the highest amount of nutrition of the entire grain. Grain is divided into three parts, the germ, the endosperm, and the bran. And people don't realize that when they go get these natural cereals, like rice, for example, any kind of rice cereal, all the nutrition has been stripped off. The only thing that's in there is usually the center, the germ of the kernel is there. And sometimes people buy wheat germ by itself, but even in the wheat germ, the chaff has been stripped off, which has most of the nutrients.
Even your brown rice?
Brown rice, same thing. Brown rice is just the outer part of the rice and hasn't been processed. Where, you know, white rice is one of the worst things you could put in your body because it robs everything out of your body. That's just like drinking Clorox. Brown rice has got some of the natural element. It's got the highest content of nutrition of any form of rice. You know, lots of iron, those kinds of things. But still, it's not, you know, just about, you have to just about pick it out of the field yourself to get a good form of rice. Are you a rice eater?
Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Bell, I kind of like white rice.
Yeah, most of us do. You know, we have our bleached taste problems. You know, I mean, I actually don't like white bleached flour bread anymore. White bread.
Do you ever go to Chinese restaurants?
Do I?
Yeah.
Not too often, but I do sometimes. I like Chinese food.
Me too, and I always have a lot of rice with my egg foo young and stuff.
Yeah, I know. We all do.
But I'm cheating then, right?
Yeah, you really are. The long grain rice is the best, the long grain type, because it has a little bit of the outer part of it still in there.
Can you get that, the long grain white rice, me?
Yeah, right. No, it's usually long grain brown rice.
Oh, nuts. Okay.
Anyway, and then the next herb that we use is butternut. And the bark of the root of butternut is useful to establish and maintain enzyme activity where mucosa has been affected by excessive ash foods, such as meats and dairy products. This is especially important as cows, chickens, and other dairy animals are also raised on processed chemicals and junk foods. As a result, they and their products may contain many toxins. So that's one of the things about the Excalibur formula, because it does have a detoxifying effect, and these herbs, what they do, like ash, for example, like, you know, when you start getting a cold, like sometimes when I get a cold, I used to in the old days because I was a dairy product eater, get a lot of mucus flowing. You know, you have to blow your nose for 3 days or 4 days or a week. And we've all found that use of the Excalibur formula, because it does get rid of the different ash buildup in the body and mucus buildup in the body. What happens is that when you take the butternut in the Excalibur formula, even though you don't have a cold during the time that you're ingesting this, when you finally do end up with a cold, if you do go out and cheat for two or three days straight or go on a binge or whatever, your body is low in mucus because you've been on this anti-mucus formula. So this is a very important thing to know about, I think, anyway. And as it helps remove the toxic waste material, butternut then contributes to the maintenance of a healthy flora in the large intestine. Absorption of the B vitamins and amino acids depends on healthy mucus. And the herb contains nutritive process with properties which assist in the restoring of intestinal function where tissue deterioration has occurred from malabsorption. And this can also help work on like an ulcerated condition. A lot of people have ulcers. And, of course, we use ginger in there, which helps relieve that, too. The next thing, of course, we mentioned yesterday is cayenne, which Dr. Christopher used to continually talk about cayenne pepper. Matter of fact, he used to take a spoonful of straight cayenne pepper daily and drink it with a glass of water. And I wouldn't recommend that you listeners out there try to do that because your eyes and your face and everything else is going to water like crazy for a while.
But you know what is interesting? Yesterday, your comments about eating spicy food.
Right.
That elicited a comment from R.C. Nishkin, our creative cook, and she related to me, I don't know if you happen to have been listening to that show, but she related to me an old Armenian remedy that is very similar.
Really? What was that?
Well, basically using pepper.
Yeah, pepper is fantastic. You know, it really is. If you take Excalibur and you put it, if you just put it in your mouth and don't chew it up just like a lozenger,
mm-hmm.
you can taste the cayenne. It will cause a little bit of a stinging on your tongue. And that, by the way, for those of you who have sensitive walls in your stomach, that's not going to open up any kind of an ulcer or anything. It's not the effect it has on the body. What it's doing is sensitizing the taste buds and sensitizing and getting rid of dead cells, removing skin that's blocking up nerve endings. It works in that way. You can get incredibly high just on cayenne pepper in water on a fast, but you know, I don't recommend that you go out and try it because you've got to know what you're doing because you can get sick because you'll release too many toxins and you'll end up with what's called a healing crisis. Once in a while, someone will take the Excalibur, too much of it too quick, and they'll release too many toxins and they'll get a slight reaction from it. Not from the vitamin per se, but they're getting a reaction from their own systems. But it's good to get that reaction when you're young and healthy rather than wait till you're old, because the reaction that you get when you're young and healthy, that may last a day or so, or maybe just a few hours, could become a terminal condition when you get up in your 70s and 80s. So these are things that you got to think about. Now, one of the things about cayenne is it's a form of pepper that is high in sulfur, phosphorus, magnesium, iron, and calcium. And its sulfurous action makes it a very special herb. Now, sulfur is a non-metallic element that occurs widely in nature, being present in every single cell in plants and animals. And sulfur makes up about 0.25% of the human body weight. It is called nature's beauty mineral because it keeps the hair glossy and smooth and keeps the complexion clear and youthful. And sulfur has a very important relationship with protein. It is contained in the amino acid methionine, cysteine, and cysteine, and it appears to be necessary for collagen synthesis. So now you can see it working with the vitamin C, which then means it's going to work synergistically with the acerola cherry, these kinds of things. The sulfur is prevalent in the keratin, and it's a high protein substance necessary for the health and maintenance of the skin, hair, and nails. It's also found in insulin, the hormone that regulates the carbohydrate metabolism, and it also occurs in carbohydrates such as heparin, which is anticoagulant found in the liver and other tissues. So here, when it goes down in the liver, what we're saying is that it's going to help the liver produce more vitamin A, and that's very important towards the upkeep of the immune system and the complexion of the body. Sulfur works with thiamine, pantothenic acid, biotin, lipoic acid, which are needed for the metabolism and strong nerve health. In addition, it plays a part in the tissue respiration process whereby oxygen and other substances are used to build cells and release energy. It helps, again, with the liver to secrete bile. And bile is very important because when the liver is secreting bile, the whole entire body gets flushed out. And it's also helping in the overall body balance. In addition to giving the body sulfur, cayenne is a general stimulant and can help give the extra vital feeling of exhilaration. It's useful in insomnia, as it helps clean the toxins that trap oxygen and give us the feeling of restlessness and irritability. So you can see how, in a way, this formula is sort of like a negative ion generator within the body, because we're going through step by step now and explaining just the herbs. Realize that we've been spending a week and a half going through the different ingredients, the B complex, all the different enzymes that we put in here, just to make it work. Then when we put these herbs in on top of it, anything that's not balanced is totally compensated for by the herbal complex. The next one is comfrey root. Comfrey root is high in calcium, potassium, phosphorus, and trace minerals. And then we talk about trace minerals as being very important towards the high feeling of exhilaration, the high levels of consciousness that people want to achieve. Trace minerals give us if we don't have them, we lose our creativity. There's times when we're just not creative. There are planetary influences that go along with that, but when the planetary influences are right and you don't have the trace minerals, you're going to really lose out on your creativity and, you know, all the high things that people really, really strive for that are spiritually, you know, alive and looking for those kinds of things. Comfrey is a good source of the amino acid lysine and B12. Now, remember, vegetarians are typically low in B12. So, you know, a comfrey root tea, for example, could be used to supplement a vegetarian diet along with the Excalibur if you're a total strict vegetarian. Realize that The Excalibur is a complete vegetarian formula, but it works just fine on people that eat meat, but it's designed for everybody. Comfrey root is another general stimulant to the mucous membranes and the respiratory organs. So it's also a low mucus thing, so it works along with cayenne, it's working along with butternut in synergism. And it's a powerful cleansing herb for the intestinal mucosa. It's also very good for the prevention and relief of coughs. And I had a couple ladies that had just called in this week that were coming down with colds when they called, and they asked if the Excalibur would help, and I sent them, you know, the Excalibur, and about a day and a half later they called back and said the cold never came in. They said they came into the early stages of it, and they felt it working through their systems, but it didn't manifest itself. A lot of that was because once the cold virus comes in, you know, tonsils are supposed to block those kinds of things, but most of us, including myself, had tonsil problems when we were young because we were probably on high mucus food then, which we shouldn't have been, didn't know any better. So we have our tonsils removed, so then the virus comes in. Now, Dr. Doherty always says if you feel the itchy throat syndrome from the pre-cold syndrome condition, take and eat some zinc. He goes down to the health food store and chews up some zinc pills. Well, I've done that, but I found we put enough zinc in the Excalibur that you could chew that up and just about get the same effect. That usually blocks the cold virus right at the oral cavities rather than letting it get down into the lungs and up into the head sinuses. But if it should get up in there and we get into these low mucus herbs, which we use, it can oftentimes dry out the mucus so that the cold can't go any further. It might just reach the lungs, and then when the mucus dries out, and the mucus is where these viruses live and thrive, and if we dry that out real fast, or we have what's called friendly mucus, meaning that it's got strictly aerobic bacteria in it, the viruses can't live in that. They can't reproduce in it. It's not a good environment for them. So colds can be destroyed at an early stage of development. The next one, of course, is an old favorite of the people down in the South. It's dandelion root and dandelion leaf. And based on a compilation by Dr. Norman Farnsworth, who's a professor of pharmacology at the University of Illinois, dandelion has been shown to contain insulin substitutes that are needed by diabetics. Dandelion tonics have been used for centuries to increase the functional activities of the liver and the kidneys. Organic sodium salts found in the abundance in the dandelion root are necessary to preserve a balance between the calcium and potassium ions in the tissue. Iron, calcium, phosphorus, and magnesium are found in the leaf and root along with the tonic nutritional salt. This wholesome, safe plant is used with a nutritional supplement to increase the secretion of the bile, a digestive juice, which we mentioned a second ago, with the emulsifying action that facilitates digestion of the intestine. So here we've got about 1, 2, 3, 4 herbs that are all so high sources in trace minerals, sulfur, potassium, phosphorus, magnesium, and calcium. So in addition to about a thousand milligrams of calcium, which is already in the formula, we've got another probably 400 or 500 milligrams in natural organic form through the herbs, along with phosphorus and sodium potassium. And those are all the ones that build the sex drive. They lower the mucus in the body. So when people take this formula after 2 or 3 days, it's no wonder they feel different. They feel elevated because these herbs alone are capable of doing that. But who's going to go to the medicine or the vitamin cabinet and pull out about 25 different herbs every day along with about 40-some ingredients of individual vitamins? Nobody. I wouldn't do that. I don't know anybody on this planet that would do it for any length of time and get it all right. Because if you don't get it all right, at the same time, each day, your body's going to start rejecting because the combination won't be the same. The body likes to work on the same combinations of things over and over again. The enzyme system works that way. The next herb, of course, is fennel. And this is great. The fennel increases the breast milk in women. It balances the appetite in both men and women. And that's why we found a lot of people taking the Excalibur that have overeating problems, that will start to balance itself because the fennel is in there. But there are a lot of these herbs will do the same thing too. They'll work in the same way. It is a detoxifier for the liver and kidneys and clears the urine. It is a source of vitamin A. The Indians use it as an appetite suppressant during fasting. Now the next herb is what I call a conscious mind expanding herb because it has a very large amount of vanadium, titanium, all the trace minerals that, and what are called rare earths, and it's full tide. So this gives you a mental, it's designed to clear the Oriental people use it. The full tide is a low growing Chinese herb that stimulates and rejuvenates the brain and the endocrine system.
Dr. Bell, that's very interesting. We do have a caller on the line. Let's go to Greg right now. Greg is calling on line 6. Greg, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much. Hi, Dr. Bell.
Hi, how are you doing?
One long time ago, I heard you say that you were a vegetarian for 7 years.
Right.
And then you quit.
Right.
I was wondering what your considerations were for...
For quitting?
Yeah.
Well, it's very simple. When I became an environmentalist, I had to reach another strata of people. And I found that as a vegetarian, my desire nature to reach that strata of people wasn't there. And I found that eating small amounts of meat again, it caused certain desires to come back into my body, because meat raises desire. It brings you into your lower nature. And so by going back into my lower nature, it gave me the desire to go back into the parts of society that I'd been through before and rekindle the efforts towards the environmental work that I was doing. And that's why I do it. It increased some lower energy levels in my body. However, when I did it the second time as a meat eater, I had it balanced. I had it under control. I knew what to do, how to balance it, how not to eat too much of it, and just to keep it at a certain level. Because a lot of people become vegetarians and they completely disconnect from society altogether. And we're only here for a few minutes in this lifetime, and there's much greater places to go. And if we have to regulate our lives by an astringent diet and condemn others that don't follow that, then we really ought to do some self-examination. So these are the kinds of head trips that I had to go through when I began to realize that my system became so powerful that I could basically eat or drink anything. And that's where it is today. There's not much that I can't eat or can't drink. And that means I can go into junk foods or anything else. But I have learned over a period of time that when the viruses and the colds come around, if I am one of these kind of people that's eating anything because I have a tremendously powerful system today, I'm going to end up suffering in the long run. So what I do is everything in moderation.
Okay. Yeah, that's very helpful, because I've been considering becoming a vegetarian, and I've cut a lot of meat out of my diet, but I was just curious, and that was very helpful.
Yeah, a lot of people try to make a spiritual judgment and make a religious thing out of food.
Right.
And food should be, if you're eating an animal, like I always say a prayer over the animal food. And there's a process whereby you rub your hands together very rapidly, which removes the grease on the palms of your hands, and then you direct that energy directly on the meat. This does two things. One, it removes the toxins from the meat, the preservatives and things. And secondly, it sanctifies the animal. So that means that the animal spirit is being elevated to you. So whenever you eat an animal, you realize that you are taking on the karma of that particular animal, and you're raising that animal's spiritual level to higher states of awareness. You have to take on that responsibility. If you don't, then you can be reduced to the animal. You can become an animal by eating meat. So you have to realize what you're doing when you're doing it with awareness. At least I do. Second thing is, when you rub your hands together and then turn them downward, is if you did that as an experiment, for example, I use a breathing exercise with it, you can actually change the taste of grapefruit juice or anything like that with the same procedure. It does the same exact thing as you do when you wear a pyramid. You take it off your head and put the pyramid on grapefruit juice. That, too, will change the taste of the juice.
Is that why you defrost meat a lot with the pyramid?
Right, right. You know, the reason that I would use the pyramid versus my hands a lot for the effect of detoxifying the food is that it takes a breathing exercise, and I'd be eventually exhausted from the breathing exercise.
Right.
What you're doing is releasing prana. But it's still the other aspect of it that the pyramid does not do is the raising of the animal's karmic vibrations to your own level. You know, that's the other part. That's what the prayer part's all about.
Okay, well, let's go. You're very interesting. I don't want to take all your time up this morning, but thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bow tie, as I was saying, is a mind-expanding herb, and it sharpens the mental awareness. And the next herb that we use is the ginger. Ginger in the
Excuse me, Dr. Bell, can you find bow tie, say, at a health food store?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's one of the very popular herbs that people take. Some of these herbs that I'm mentioning are hard to find, but some of them are very popular. Fotai and the other one, Gota Kola, are both available in combination and singularly.
Now, do you take them in a tea form, or how do you take them?
No, I just take them in my Excalibur now. Before, you got to realize that every single one of these 55 ingredients in Excalibur I took individually for a long period of time to figure out what they did for me before I put them all together. I wasn't one of these formulators that I that decided to start out with a random formula and clean it up later, mm-hmm. which I've heard commented on different talk shows, on different programs, as the way a lot of formulas come to be. This formula was started by a group of scientists back about 20 years ago and constantly refined, and each one of us had taken each one of these individual things one at a time. I mean, that's the way this thing was put together. But with the amount of Fortai and Gotacola that's in the Excalibur, which is almost 60 milligrams, and I double the dosage, I'm getting 120 milligrams of both of those every day. That's plenty, plus aspirin, a few of the ones I haven't gotten to yet.
See? I was just thinking of a student that might want to take an increased amount of Fortai, say they were going to have an exam, that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, they could do that, but if they do it, take lecithin with it too, because lecithin will help the body produce phosphorus. It's a source of phosphorus. And coconut is juice is a good source of it, because just the lecithin alone will raise grade point averages in students if they take enough of it. It's mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of colleges back east, kids will jam up on coconut juice. You know, it really does make a difference.
That's interesting. Coconut juice too, huh?
Yeah, that's the source of lecithin, which is one of the strong mental what I would call mind expanding nutrients. You know. Now, let's get back to one of the greatest things I think we've created is our Excalibur here, our formula.
Yes, indeed.
And when we left off last week, we were just gotten up into two of the mind-expanding herbs that were, these are not drugs, by the way, these are natural. The one was the Fortai herb, and the Fortai herb is a very powerful Chinese herb that we use, and remember when Jason Winter's on, he was talking about the miracle of herbs. And Fortai is a low-growing Chinese herb that stimulates and rejuvenates the brain and the endocrine system. Now, it contains trace minerals that enhance the electrochemical actions throughout the brain and body. And many, many, many people claim that it sharpens their mental alertness. And what Fortai is a type of plant. You know, remember we talked at the very beginning about herbs. All different herbs, depending on the octave or the vibration that the herb itself functions in biochemically and etherically, will draw out of the soil, and first of all, only even grow unless it's in the right kind of soil to make this drawing or this removal anyway. Each herb will draw out of the soil special amounts of enzymes and trace minerals. And the trace minerals, as we said in the very beginning of this thing, is that trace minerals are very important for the brain to work on spiritual levels. And if a brain is working on the spiritual levels, the pragmatic levels usually include an enhanced long-term memory and a very good short-term memory under stress. And if your memory is good when you're by yourself, and then when you get around stress and it doesn't function any longer, then you're probably lacking all the various trace minerals that you need. And we found that herbs are a very good source of trace minerals, certain herbs. Now, some of the herbs aren't. Like, for example, ginger, which is another herb that we use, is not a real good source of trace minerals. It's an herb that balances the metabolism and helps eliminate gas. And when you put an herb like ginger in with a formula like Fortai, what you're doing is you're allowing the ginger to balance out the body, get rid of this mucus from all the bad things that we eat, so that you get maximum assimilation of something like Fortai herb. So I learned a long time ago about herbs. This is one that Jason was talking about. You know, originally the people used to just take one, but the alchemists back in medieval times would mix herbs up into things called elixirs. And these different elixirs could be made to cause the body to do different things. You could increase your mental awareness, you could get super physical vision. There was lots of things that elixirs would help you do. I like to use ginseng, but ginseng, the government would not allow us, the FDA would not allow us to use ginseng in our formula. It's one of the greatest mind-expanding herbs besides Bo Thai and Go to Color, which the other two I've used both of.
Now, that's interesting because you can buy ginseng, can't you, in a health food store?
Right. Ginseng legally in this country can only be sold as a tea, even though you can buy it in the health food stores in a little capsule. It's still considered as a tea. And the best one is the Siberian ginseng because, first of all, when ginseng grows in the ground, nothing typically grows afterwards for 7 years. You can only grow ginseng once in the same location every 7 years because it takes out the most precious, most rarest trace minerals found in the ground. And so what happens is when you eat ginseng, you end up absorbing these directly into your body, into your brain, and it's a tremendously powerful. And some people are so toxic that they'll get a reaction from ginseng. Not everybody is clean enough to handle it. So the FDA says and claims that because of this, some people do react toxically to ginseng, that it should not be put into any kind of a compound formula. But I think that's okay because, you know, we did a formula for a while that had it in there, but then when they changed the ruling around, we had to remove it. I found that in my type of formulation, even though I'm formulating with no copper because we get too much copper from the pipes already, I leave iodine out because we eat too many iodized salts already. In my formulation, I've been very careful to never put anything in the formulas that anybody has ever been heard to get a reaction from. Now, like some of these new formulas, my formula, this formula will pick your energy up like crazy. In 3 days, everybody gets a tremendous lift from it, a physical and a spiritual, just a good feeling and a lot more energy. And a lot of formulas, they'll base themselves on a thing called bee pollen, for example. And bee pollen is great for some people, but in some other people, it's highly toxic because sometimes when people get stung by a bee, they feel good afterwards. A lot of times people will die. They'll have a seizure and die. So you got to be careful when you deal with certain types of animal or insect byproducts, putting them into formulation, because some people are very sensitive to this and can't handle that. So even the herbs that we've chosen to put in here are all non-toxic herbs to anyone. There's never been a case where somebody got poisoned on ginger or go-to-cola or faux-thai or fennel or any of the things we use. Now, the next herb that's in here is called go-to-cola. It's much like faux-thai. It contains a whole lot of what I call acid-base mineral salts to support the cellular electrolyte needs and increase mental clarity. So what the faux-thai does is basically the faux-thai is an enhancer and a form of trace minerals that the body needs for these higher vibrations, and the go-to-cola enhances the electrical activity once the faux-thai has made its statement in the brain. So one herb feeds the other one. See, in this mental part of our formula, we're using synergism of two different herbs. We're not repeating ourselves with two herbs that are similar. One herb starts something and the other herb sort of pushes it along, which makes it a very good mental stimulating formula. Now, the next thing that we use is papaya leaf. Papaya is a very good source of enzymes, one called papain and pepsin. It helps greatly when digesting a meal, and it helps eliminate gas. But papaya leaf also helps you, if you have a sensitive stomach, take the Excalibur on an empty stomach, because we recommend that you don't eat any food with the Excalibur when you take it, because we want these different herbs, we want these different protein sources that we put in here to cross the blood-brain barrier and immediately go into the body and the brain and the blood without any interference from our contest from food. Because when you eat food and take vitamins, the food is going to cross the blood-brain barrier. And the vitamin that you took with the food oftentimes might have some really good mind-expanding type herbs in it, but you'll never receive any benefit from them because they're never digested. They just get pushed through the system. If you're taking a normal vitamin, you're taking it with food like most manufacturers recommend, what happens is there's a big challenge at the blood-brain barrier for the digestion, all the enzymes in the body, to bring all the different ingredients of the food and the vitamins into the body. As a result, in most cases, most vitamins, what happens is they are complete, and so they have to rob the food for the various nutrients or the body for the various nutrients to be assimilated. And the neat thing about these type of new age formulas like Excalibur is that they don't rob the body of anything. So we have put enzymes in them to allow them to be digested properly where they're supposed to. Now, the next thing that we put in is a thing called parsley. Now, parsley, I'm sure everybody out there knows what parsley is. Parsley is that little green stuff that comes on your meal when you go to a nice restaurant that usually people put away and dump on the table or put it in their plate and send it back when the plate's empty. parsley is served, it's a European tradition to serve parsley, and what you're supposed to do with it is eat it first before the meal, because parsley is known for its carminative properties, meaning that it balances gas within the system. It's full of enzymes as well as magnesium, which is necessary for about 50% of all enzyme activation. And so parsley also contains trace minerals such as zinc, copper, chromium, which helps the adrenals and the liver. So what you're supposed to do, do you do this, Jim? Do you put the parsley away or do you eat it?
You want me to be honest?
Yeah.
I've never eaten parsley.
Jim.
Now you know why I'm in such bad shape.
Well, you're not in that bad shape. You do real good, actually. Considering how much abuse, you actually seem like you're functioning most of the time, and you're very good on the radio. Anyway.
Considering the abuse I do to myself, I'm not in bad shape.
Yeah, maybe when you leave the station at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you go plop in a, check yourself into a hospital every night. I don't know, but no, really, parsley, it is. You should eat that first, all by itself.
What does it taste like?
It really doesn't have much of a taste. I really wouldn't know how to describe it. It's got a little bit sharper. It tastes almost like a weak form of dandelion, you know?
Yeah, well, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, try it. Because what will happen is if you just chew it up and drink it with a little water and swallow it, you'll find that your meal... Do you ever get that bloated feeling from eating a big steak or something?
Of course.
Okay, eat the parsley first, and you might be surprised. You might not get that bloated feeling. It might eliminate that, because the bloated feeling means your body's low in hydrochloric acid. That's why you feel that way. If your hydrochloric acid is turned on first, before the meal goes in, you won't feel that way, and you won't feel as drowsy afterwards. And also, I found with red meat, don't do this with fish, but with red meat, eat onions along with it, and you'll get a much higher assimilation rate.
That I have eaten, plenty of onions.
Yeah, those are good, especially if you're going to kiss somebody. Mouthful of garlic and onions will turn any girl on in hell. You know? If they're not into health, they might not like it, you know. Well, the next thing that we put in is red raspberry leaf. And that's one of the things that Jason Winters was talking about the other day, red raspberry leaf. And red raspberry leaf helps balance the body's metabolism of a basic acid alkaline base. It also contains specific enzymes that assist the body's defenses when it's under a virus attack. It is excellent for prevention of colds during seasonal variances. So, like I often tell my patients, I'll say, you know, they'll come down with a runny nose or something. And once they've already got the cold, the vitamin C isn't going to do that much for them. So what I end up doing is have them take red raspberry leaf in a tea form, which works real well. So by putting it in the Excalibur formula, what happens is it builds up your immune system continually. And it's almost impossible to get a cold if you take your Excalibur every day. It really is. The next thing we put in there is sarsaparilla. You got to realize, we've been for 2.5-3 days just talking on the herbs on this. I think we've been about 3 weeks talking about the Excalibur.
That's okay.
Yeah, people seem to like it. I get tons of phone calls after these shows. Okay, now, the sarsaparilla, we put sarsaparilla in there, and then we discussed that back in the 1800s, used to go into the bar thinking you were getting alcohol, right?
Give me a shot of sarsaparilla.
Yeah, right. Well, sarsaparilla is a complete protein, and it contains hormonal forms of testosterone, progesterone, and cortin, which all of them increase the sexual power. I think these are all male and female hormones. Sarsaparilla is a good maintenance herb for the female organs, especially when women are pregnant or having their periods. This is very important, but sarsaparilla is very good. By the way, with the Excalibur, even though it has certain amounts, it has like 30 milligrams in each capsule of this amount of herb, you can always, by knowing what each herb does, when you take an Excalibur-type formula, you can take additional amounts of sarsaparilla or slippery elm or some of the other things that are in here along with it, because it will act as a switch turned on the body so you get much more efficient. Sarsaparilla helps eliminate depression and fatigue. It's also high in sulfur, which we discussed the other day, which is a detoxifying substance for the body. And it's a valuable constituent of amino acids, cysteine and methionine. And it has lots of vitamins and lecithin and thiamine, with B2 in there. So sarsaparilla in itself is like a whole vitamin complex by itself. The next thing we use is slippery elm. And slippery elm is many years been used as a calming herb. It contains trace minerals such as lithium, calcium, and magnesium. And of course, a lot of psychiatrists and or some listening today know that lithium has been used many, many times for manic depression. And You know, many doctors also use slippery elm for the relief of schizophrenia, and this is a condition that results from the absence of trace minerals in the body, the real high octave ones. And slippery elm is excellent in soothing gastric and intestinal tract irritation. I know a lot of herbalists have used slippery elm to calm people over many, many centuries that have any kind of, uptight syndrome, as I would call it. So we use quite a bit of that in the formula. Yellow dock is another one that we use. Yellow dock is very, very well known for the iron content. It's 40% iron. Yellow dock is an alternative tonic. It's astringent also. It's been used for centuries for skin eruptions, scorbutus disease, itch, syphilis, liver congestion, lack of vitality, all these kinds of things. It's a great detoxifier for the lymphatic system. And the lymphatic system, those of you who are just tuning in, is a system tuning in. It's just a system that contains fluids in the body that detoxifies, and perspiration is a byproduct of the workings of the lymphatic system. And a lot of diseases, a lot of very dangerous diseases, oftentimes perpetuate themselves in the body because the lymphatic system is down. I mean, we have to keep the immune system up, but if the immune system is up, keeping the viruses and bad bacteria out of the body, you still have to have a functioning lymphatic system to support the immune system. If you don't, you can get into a lot of trouble. And people do get into a lot of trouble oftentimes in the summer when they put these antiperspirants on, which block the lymphatic system from secreting itself. So as a result, what happens is you end up building these toxins up in the body, and when your body does start releasing these fluids, it's so ridiculously hard on the body that all kinds of diseases and skin problems happen. You know, if you eat the proper foods, you won't have body odor. You can even eat meat and not have body odor. As a matter of fact, one way to tell how much meat that you're eating is by body odor. When you start eating too much of it, you'll develop body odor. If you eat a small amount of it, you'll develop none. Fruit, any kind of fruit, bananas, apples, grapes, you know, taken regularly during the day somewhere. That's why a lot of, even some of these what I would call low-class restaurants will serve watermelon or grapes with their meals. And the reason they're doing that is maybe they don't know why they're doing it, maybe they do. But the reason that's done is because if you balance a small amount of fruit with any kind of meat intake, it will balance the odors in the body very well. Although you should not eat fruit and vegetables at the same time, because the enzyme system for fruit and the enzyme system for vegetables is two different systems and will cause a conflict in the body, and you'll end up not digesting either one. So you should eat one or the other. Now, if you're eating a salad or something during a meal, then eat that up front, then eat, go through your protein. By that time, your body should have settled down, then eat the food at the end. But don't eat vegetables along with the meal, even before or after. After, if you're not eating fruit, before if you're going to. Now, spirulina is another thing that we use in the vitamins. It's a very high natural source of protein, and it's also a essential and non-essential amino acids, minerals, vitamins, and chlorophyll. In general, it's considered a very good blood builder, and it's literally a vitamin complex within a vitamin complex. I realize that's the same thing I said about inositol, 2 weeks ago. I said it about a couple of the herbs like sarsaparilla, and now we're saying it again about spirulina. So, major claims have been made about spirulina, and some are true, while others are not. I feel overall that it's a very good component to put in the Excalibur, and we put about 150 milligrams per dosage in the formula, which is a good amount. Now, there's been some hassles about the quality of spirulina. We only buy the high-quality spirulina that comes from a few sources in Mexico or a couple in Europe or a few here in the United States. We're not getting the low quality spirulina because the lab is very, very fussy. The low-quality spirulina has been known to have insect eggs in it and all kinds of other things because it's grown as an algae. So you have to be careful where you get your source of spirulina from. You want a relatively clean source of spirulina. Because realize this is a cold-pressed formula. Nothing is cooked in it. Okay. I used to put wheatgrass in my formulas because it's a very good detoxifier. But then I found out that wheatgrass really only has an effectiveness on the body about 4 years after it's harvested. 4 hours, rather, after it's harvested. So we dropped that. And in its place, I put aloe vera. Aloe vera is a tremendous healing herb. Aloe vera, for example, if you have a cut or something on the body, you put aloe vera on it, instantly it starts to heal. If you get a burn, you know, like you burn yourself on an iron or a soldering iron or, you know, ironing iron, or you bump up against a radiator on a car, whatever, and you get a burn, if you go right away, you know, forget the ice cubes, run out and grab some aloe vera. I have a plant going outside my house that we use around here. You'll find that, number one, you'll have no pain afterward, and number two, you'll have no scarring, and number three, it'll heal very fast. And by taking it internally, it's a very, very high source of aerobic bacteria. And there's two types of bacteria that you'll find in the body. One is aerobic, which is used primarily in the large intestine for the digestion of all the B-complex, the biotin, the folic acid, all these kinds of things. And then the anaerobic bacteria, which are the bad guys that you get when you get sick. So being that aloe vera is a high source of aerobic bacteria, it's putting the friendly guys back in. And it works with another ingredient that I put in there, which is called freeze-dried acidophilus. And freeze-dried acidophilus, used in a formula, increases the friendly floral content even more in the large intestine. My philosophy, and it seems to work and hold true, is that any time you take a B-complex and do not take a acidophilus form of bacteria with it, you're really wasting your time, because the B-complex requires additional, it's very concentrated when it gets to the large intestine, it requires additional help to be digested. So I believe that all proper nutritive formulas should have a large amount of some form of acidophilus, whether it's bifidus or freeze-dried, and aloe vera, because they work very well together. The other thing we use in there is rice bran. Rice bran is another high source of B-complex, which is very assimilable form. And the rice bran complements the almond bran, which we use, which is the bitter almond bran, which is a very good source of vitamin B17. When you take B17 into your body, it makes you not be susceptible any longer to things called carcinogens. Carcinogens are precursing foods that lead us up towards cancer if we have a natural, weakness or lack of resiliency for cancer. So by putting these different brands in the formula, if you are one of these kinds of people, you can be assured that this will help counteract any kind of a carcinogenic effect on your body. The next things we put in are peppermint leaf and wintergreen leaf. Now, peppermint is one of several mints within the mint family. All mints are said to strengthen the stomach and improve digestion. They're very good, by the way, for getting rid of ulcers. These mints will do that. This is where the natives used to do it, and the Indians used to do it. The pleasant aroma is soothing and it's invigorating. Peppermint is used against liver complaints, flatulence, nausea, seasickness, vomiting, chills, colic, fevers, dizziness, diarrhea, dysentery, cholera, influenza, and heart problems such as palpitations. It also is helpful in the cases of insanity, convulsions, and spasms in infants, and nervous headache. Even I have a 4-year-old daughter that takes the Excalibur every day, and that girl's never been sick. I mean, she just takes it, she even chews it up. You know, peppermint cleanses and strengthens the entire system, including the nerves. It diffuses alcohol and warms the whole body. Well, herb tea of peppermint is an excellent substitute for coffee or tea. The oil of peppermint is applied externally in the uses of toothache, headache, neuralgia, burns, and rheumatism. A peppermint salve will help skin conditions. When placed in a bath, peppermint can have a very calming effect on the nerves and muscles. Peppermint enemas are excellent for cholera and colon troubles. And then, of course, wintergreen is a mild stimulant and astringent used to expel worms. It is also excellent as a digestive aid. By putting the wintergreen in there, it accentuates the peppermint, but it also helps those people out there that have to eat pork. Because most people that have ever eaten pork end up with worms, you know, and that's not too cool either. Worms, one of the problems with worms is that they end up, you know, infesting the body, and the toxins, the waste material from the worms is very bad. The next herb that we use is chamomile. Chamomile is my favorite for an upset stomach, by the way.
Well, we're out of time, so we'll continue this next week. And let's see, actually, it'll probably be 2 weeks, because next week we'll have to do a rerun. We'll be at the Conscious Life Expo show. So this will be continued in 2 weeks. And once again, thanks for your support. Bye.